Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics. Joining me today from New York City is John Arvanitis, who is the Associate Managing Director in the Compliance Practice at Kroll. John, thank you for joining us. And as someone with the last name Turteltaub, I sure hope I pronounced your last name right.
You did well. Thank you, Adam. And it's a pleasure to be here with you today.
Thank you. So we're going to talk today about due diligence on vendors especially. It's a high-risk area, not just for anti-corruption, but as we've seen recently, it can be quite the issue in the privacy area as well. But John, let's talk about your practice and what you're seeing. So what are the common challenges you're finding companies are having when it comes to due diligence on their vendors?
I think, Adam, what really you have to establish right out of the box is how are you going to do due diligence? A lot of the interaction that we have with clients, sometimes in the conversation we hear from them, where do I begin and how? Because we know today that multinational global enterprises operating throughout the world have huge internal employees, but also external partners. As you and I both know that, you know, the biggest risk associated with doing business today revolves around third parties.
Yeah, it certainly is one that's highly problematic to people. And when you say, where do I begin? Is it in terms of where geographically, where in times of strategic risk, where based on size? What are the kind of issues that people end up wrestling with in that regard?
Sure. I think you have to balance who are your third parties, where are they located, and what levels of risk exist in regards to those third parties. And I think you also have to take into consideration who's managing the relationship from an organizational standpoint relative to the third party. I think these organizations that are operating globally have multiple business lines internally that have third parties, and regularly they'll ask themselves, what do we know about these third parties? And sometimes you get the blank stare, and sometimes you get the compliance professional or the individual within an organization who can run through, here's who the individual is, here's what they're all about. There's no concerns associated with them. We've done the level of due diligence needed from screening all the way to an enhanced due diligence level because of potential red flags that have shown up.
Yeah, and it's always an interesting question seeing what the balance is between that good answer versus, as you say, the blank stare. Now, with all the due diligence that's been going on in the marketplace, are the bad actors starting to get it? Are they getting more sophisticated in how they make themselves look more legitimate than they are?
I think that there's a lot of good quality due diligence being conducted, but to your point about nefarious individuals masking themselves further deeper down in organizations that multinationals can be doing business with is occurring. But I think the level of due diligence that's conducted and understanding of the due diligence product that's provided back is key and crucial. Risk assessments today have to be multidimensional. They have to go all the way, as I said earlier, Adam, from screening to asking the hard questions of who, what, where, when, and how, and flushing out those responses and validating those responses that you're not dealing with someone who may be a politically exposed person, maybe on a list or a government official, or may have criminal conduct in their background.
Well, I think you may make a very good point there that it's not enough just to take what they say, that it's got to be validated. And that leads into sort of my next question, which is, what are the things that companies need to look out for these days beyond the basis of making sure that, for example, the sales agent you hired in country X is really a sales agent and not just a conduit for paying bribes to a foreign government official?
I think, as we said earlier, Adam, you got to look at the jurisdictions that these individuals may be operating in. Are these jurisdictions highly, you know, viable for corrupt activity? Are they individuals that may have political exposure concerns? Are they trained? Have they accepted an organization's code of conduct and the requirements that are laid out for them, both within a contract and the policies and procedures of the organization? I think that, you know, there's constant communication that has to occur between whoever from the business is dealing with a third party to ensure that they're meeting the expectation and the deliverables for the business, but also ensuring that ethically they're doing business in the proper way. I think, you know, we've seen here recently over the last 18 months to 2 years, documents like the Yates memo and the February 27 department guidance on what compliance programs should be and the types of questions that should be asked. So everyone pretty much has an understanding, hopefully, at this stage of the personal liability issues that revolve around who you're doing business with from a corporate level within an organization and within the compliance program to ensure that the program is meeting the expectations across the board.
And, you know, when it comes to meeting the expectations, you know, there's you obviously want to avoid the unforced errors, the places where it was a problem that might have been foreseen if you had understood things better. Are there markets out there where you find that, for example, people think, well, that's not that risky, but actually it is, and that companies really should be watching out for more than they should? Or, for example, business areas that people tend to take a somewhat sanguine approach to where that's really not that wise?
I think in today's environment, the way the geopolitical situation is, the globalization by law enforcement of bribery and corruption and cooperation with foreign governments, any jurisdiction that a business operates in, there should be a certain degree of due diligence that's conducted of the third parties at the highest level. Now, you can't do enhanced due diligence on every single individual within an organization at the highest degree, of course, but it's all based on the level of risk and the risk tolerance that a business may have. I think that having a risk management strategy that's consistent and structured and that clearly defines and assesses and assigns risk to third parties is crucial in being able to stay within the realm of the anti-bribery and corruption program that an organization would have.
Thank you. Good points of advice. And thank you for taking the time for sharing it with all of us. Thank all of you who took the time to listen in today. I think we've gotten some really good insights on how to improve our thinking about conducting due diligence. I'm Adam Turteltaub for Compliance Perspectives, wishing you all a very good day.